again, certainly smile on us, has allowed our golden moments to continue to roll on. For this, we ought to be, and I'm sure we are eternally grateful. So good to be here this morning to offer the sacrifices of our praise to our Heavenly Father. Oh, indeed, He is worthy to be praised. He is the only wise, and He is the only true God. He's the one that loved us, who sent His Son to die for us, in order that we might have a right to the tree of life. I want to say thank you to those who may be visiting with us on today. Certainly, as we know each fourth Sunday, we strive to have an outreach Sunday, an evangelism emphasis Sunday. And if you were invited by someone this morning, we certainly are grateful that you came. If you came on your own, we're also grateful that you came. We want to share the good news of the Word of God with you and with all of us who are present here today, those who may be members of the body of Christ, those who may not be members of the body of Christ. We want to share the good news of the Word of God. God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4 teaches us that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9 teaches us that God has not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful God who loved us. He does not want anyone to perish, but to come to repentance. 1 Peter chapter 3, or 2 Peter, I should say, chapter 3 and verse 9. I'm thankful that God is such a God as that, who loved us when we were unlovable. And the Bible says when we were without strength, Christ died for us. Thanks then be to God for His unspeakable gift. If you're visiting today, we welcome you to the service this year. We would encourage you to fill out a visitor's card. You'll find one of those in the pocket of the pew in front of where you're sitting. If you have not been given one as you came in, please take one of those and fill them out, and they will be collected at a later part of our service today. But we certainly want you to know that you are indeed our honored guest for being with us today. At the conclusion of our lesson, we will be standing, singing a song that will be encouraging us. If you have not obeyed the gospel, we trust that if you have a sufficient understanding of what the will of God is for you in your life, that you would come and ask, as they did on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. They say, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." We would encourage you then to come and obey the gospel this morning. If you're already a member, but somehow you find that you walked contrary to the will of God, certainly if you were here last Sunday, you should remember the sermon that Brother James shared with us in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and verse 5, where the Lord said to His followers, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." So if you find yourself standing a guilty distance from God, though you may be a member of the body of Christ, please know that you must repent. And if you just desire prayers for any reason in your life, we would encourage you to request special prayer on your behalf or the behalf of others. A prayer request form is also provided in the pocket of the pews there. If you care not to stand and verbalize your prayer request, then write it down. It will be read and it will be prayed for by the man doing the closing prayer. Whatever your need is, then, if you believe we can help, please let us know. Certainly grateful to see Brother Orlando Whiteside with us today. He is involved heavily in world evangelism. Certainly we have had fellowship with him over the years in schooling and continue to have fellowship with him in his work now. We're grateful to have him. You heard his wife's name mentioned in prayer. She could not be with him today because she's ill. But the son is here, and certainly we're grateful to see them here this morning. Before the services are over today, Brother Whiteside will briefly share with us a quick overview of what he's doing, being engaged in his work now. But just now, if you will, the scripture that has been read is Acts chapter 27, verses 9 through 14. These were the verses that were read in our hearing by Brother Charles Lovejoy. This will serve as the central focus of our lesson today, as well as other scriptures that we will be sharing with you. Chapter 27 of the book of Acts details some of the events that took place while Paul was being transported as a prisoner to Rome. He had been brought before Festus because of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he made a statement to Festus as he was standing before him and said, in essence, if I had done something that was worthy of death, then I'd gladly die. But if you can't find anything, charges against me, then I appeal to Rome. He was a Roman citizen, so he had certain rights, and so he was exercising his rights to appeal his case to Rome. And so Festus says, Rome, you want to go? Rome, you will go. And so he set things in motion then, that is Festus, to deliver Paul to Rome to stand and appeal his case. Chapter 28 details other events that happen along the way and ultimately gives us the account of his final arrival in Rome. But for our lesson today, I want us to consider a great storm that they encountered along the way here in chapter 27. And from this storm, I believe that we can glean some valuable lessons, some things that are revealed in this storm that will help us greatly in our spiritual walk with the Lord. And so as we talk today, we're talking about things revealed in a storm. The Bible says, again, in verse 9, now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that the voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, and this is the verse that we want to deal upon for our first point this morning. Nevertheless, the centurion believe the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. In the next couple of verses says then that when they thought everything was all right, they set sail. And lo and behold, the last verse that Brother Charles read, verse number 14, says, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. There is something that is revealed about what happened here. They encountered this storm along the way because of a bad choice that was made. That's the first thing that I want us to realize, that sometimes storms reveal. And I'm talking about the storms, the difficulties, the problems and the perplexities that sometimes come upon us in life. They happen many times because of bad choices or bad decisions that we make. Now, I realize that sometimes we can make the best choice and the best of decisions, and storms and difficulties and problems and challenges will still come. But then there are other times when they come because of something of our own doing. And this is what happened in this particular scenario. They could have escaped this great storm, Euroclydon, this tempestuous wind, if they had made a good decision. And the good decision that they should have made was to listen to what the man of God said. Many folks today will not listen to what God says, let alone what the man of God says. When the man of God tells you what God says from God's book, the Bible, it would do us all well to listen. Amen. Yes, yes, why did the storm affect them so? As I've already said, they made a bad choice. They ignored good advice. First of all, experience should have told them that it wasn't a good time to sail. Because look at what some verses said just before this. The Bible says up in verse number 4, the first part of that, the Bible says, and when we had lunch from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And then look down in verse number 7. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scares were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, they still had problems with the wind. And then down in verse number 9. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous. All of this should have given them some experience to know that it's not good to keep on moving in the storm. Of course, the big storm hadn't come. They were experiencing, if you will, some boisterous wind, some dangerous waves, some turbulent seas. Something should have told them that we need to wait a while. So they had some experience under their belt. But you see, something else came into play. The Bible says in verse number 12, and because the haven of the harbor was not commodious to winter in, the more part or the majority of them, they advised to leave, to depart from this. So they listened to the majority. And how easy it is sometimes to go along with what the majority says. The majority says, let's move, let's keep on moving. So they, the centurion, chose to listen to the master and the captain of the ship more than the things that were spoken by Paul. And so as a result, then, they encountered this great storm. The Bible says in the book of Jonah, a storm happened. It happened to a man of God. And this gets us, who are preachers, who are teachers, who are elders, and even down to Christians, just Christians. We need to, at all times, listen to God for the direction in our lives. Here is a man of God, a prophet of God, by the name of Jonah. God said to him in Jonah chapter 1, go down to the city of Nineveh and cry out against it. The Bible says, instead of Jonah going down to Nineveh, he took a ship and he sailed hoping to go to Tarshish. While he was on that ship, the Bible says a great storm came. And the men began to wonder, why is all of this happening to us? Jonah acknowledged the fact, and this is one good thing about it, when we realize that we are the problem, then it's good to, as I can say it like this, it's good to fess up. It's good to admit that, yes, I brought this upon myself. Jonah says, the reason why this is happening is because of me. Take me and cast me overboard. You read the Bible there and it'll teach you that when they cast him overboard, the wind ceased. Sometimes, again, we do things in life and we bring problems and we bring difficulties and we bring challenges upon ourselves. And if we realize that we're the problem, don't try to blame somebody else. Jesse is my fault. And I need to work through this. I need to work out of this because it's all my fault. I'm sure that if you talk to anybody, I shouldn't say anybody, but if you talk to some who are incarcerated, many of them will tell you that the reason why I am behind these walls is because I listened to the wrong folk. That's what happened on the ship. The centurion and the master of the ship listened to the wrong folk. They should have listened to Paul. As a matter of fact, Paul will say this later on. He said, you should have listened to me. If we would just listen to the right people and follow their advice, we can avoid a lot of heartache. We can avoid a lot of trouble. We can avoid a lot of storms that come into our lives. Yes, one thing storms and difficulties in life can reveal is that they happen many times because of the bad choices that we make. Young people, older people, all of us, listen to the right voice. The right voice that we should make our choices based upon is the voice of God. And the voice of God speaks to us from his word. We need to listen to his word. Many times, as I bring it a little bit closer home, in the religious affairs, we listen to the wrong folks. Sometimes folks will say things like this, any way will do. You're listening to the wrong folks. God says only one way will do, and that's his way. Another voice would say that once I'm saved, I'm always saved. That's the wrong voice to listen to. God says, take heed lest you fall. We need to listen to God. I know the majority of the people out there will say, any way but do. No doubt the majority of the people will say, once you're saved, always saved. And the majority of the people, no doubt, will say, there's nothing to baptism. But I want to say to you, listen to God. God's word says, he that believeth and he is baptized shall be saved. Amen. You may get through this life and may not have any trouble if you believe some of those other voices. But I want to tell you, one day you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble at the judgment. And that's a storm. If you wait till the judgment to try to admit that you were wrong and get out of it, you won't have a chance. Change your life. Change your way of living. Change your way of walking while you have the opportunity. Listen to God. Listen to his word so that you can avoid that final and eternal storm. Yes, storms then can reveal to us that we may have listened to the wrong voice. But then there's something else that's revealed in a storm. When a storm comes in our lives, look at verse number 20 of the same chapter. Verse number 20, listen to what Paul says. Paul says, or rather the Bible says, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long absence, and this is what I said earlier that Paul would say, after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that said, that sail rather with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Now, I want us to notice something. Paul was in the storm too, and all the other people were in the storm too. But I want you to notice something about Paul that's going to be different from many of the others that were on the ship, as we'll see just a little bit later. Paul was experiencing the same storm that they experienced. But you know what got him through the storm? Was his faith and his trust in God. So that's another thing that storms will reveal. Storms will reveal what kind of faith we have. When the storms come in our lives, even when physical storms come in our lives, it will reveal what kind of faith we got. And in order to get through the storm, you're going to have not little faith, not weak faith, but strong faith. You're going to have strong faith to get you through the storm. But notice the shipmen. Look down now at verse number 29 and 30. The Bible says, then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast forth anchors out of the storm and wished for day. And as the shipmen were about to do what? Flee out of the ship. Look what the shipmen are doing. They are getting ready to flee, trying to run away. But Paul follows right up and says, except you abide in the ship, you can't be saved. So here we have Paul's strong faith, and we have the shipmen's no faith, if I could call it that way. They're ready to run away. You can't run away from a storm. You can't run away from a storm in your life. When the storm comes, it's got you. You can't run away. You got to deal with it. The storm came upon Paul, and Paul says, I believe God that it should be even as it was told me. The angel had stood by him, he says, be of good cheer. You got to get to Rome. You have appealed to Rome. You got to get to Rome. No harm is going to come to you. You're going to have some loss of the ship, but nobody's life is going to be lost. Based upon the fact, again, that you deal with the storm. The shipman wanted to run away, but Paul says, don't you run away. If you run away, you won't be saved. You got to abide in the ship. Yes, indeed, brothers and sisters, I want to tell you this morning that storms in our lives will do one of two things. It will, number one, it will make us, or number two, it will break us. I hope and trust that when storms come into your life, into my life, that we will allow these storms to make us. Yes. Don't allow these storms to break us. Right. Storms will make you, or it'll break you. Paul had his faith in God. It made him. Those shipmen, or the workmen on the ship, they had their faith in something else. And so they were ready to run away. Don't run away from your storm, but you remain faithful to the Lord. I want to tell you about a man, and we all know about him, I'm sure, a man by the name of Job. Job has a storm to come in his life. Oh, you can read about it, and I know you know all about him. Job, the Bible says, was a perfect man. Upright before God. That's why I said at the beginning that sometimes you can do everything just right and storms will still come in your life. So just because we do right, it doesn't exempt us from storms. But the point is that what will really make us is how we handle the storm. Job was an upright man. The Bible says that Job had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and a yoke, depending on how you count it, it can mean four or it can mean two. So if you take the smaller one, that means he had at least 1,000 oxen. Not only that, but the Bible says he had 500 mules. And he had a great household, which means he had to have many servants to take care of all of these things that he had. And beside that, he and Miss Job had 10 children. But do you not know that Job and Miss Job lost everything they had and all of the children they had? And you're talking about an economic meltdown? Job suffered an economic meltdown. All of his wealth, all of his goods went away and left him. And then he lost all of his children. Can you imagine the weeping that was in the household of Job? He didn't lose just one son, but he lost all of his sons. He didn't lose just one daughter, but he lost all of his daughters, 3 daughters, 7 sons. Lost every one of them. You talking about a storm? Job had a storm. Miss Job had a storm. Not only did he lose all of that, but then he was afflicted, the Bible says, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet with sores and boils. But I want you to notice something about Mr. Job and Miss Job. Turn your Bible, if you will, to Job chapter 1 and listen to what the Bible has to say there concerning these individuals. Job chapter 1 and verse number 20. After he has lost now everything and all of his children, Bible says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worship. And listen to what he said. Naked, he says, came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Why could Job say that? It was because of his faith. Job had a storm, but still he was saying, just like Paul, I'm going to trust in God. I believe God. So Job says, the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But then notice Miss Job. Look over in Job chapter 2. After now he has been afflicted with all of the sores from the bottom top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Listen to what Miss Job says. Sure, she's still, I'm sure, mourning from the death of her children. Sure, she's still depressed, no doubt, from all of the loss of her wealth and all of that type of thing. Listen to what she says. The Bible says in verse number 9, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. You know what the storms did to Miss Job? It broke her. But the storms that came to Mr. Job, it made him. So I'm saying this morning that storms will either make us or it'll break us. So storms then reveal what kind of faith that we have. But then lastly this morning, after going through the storms, And after maintaining, hopefully, our trust and our confidence in the Lord, I'm hoping that storms then will help us to encourage others when they have storms too. Look at verse number 31 through 36 in Acts chapter 27. Listen to what the Bible has to say. Verse number 31, again, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. And then the Bible goes on to say, then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, or food, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting and have taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer. And they also took some meat. You notice what Paul is doing now? Paul is encouraging these people. He's encouraging them. You notice what the Bible says? Then were they all of good cheer. They were encouraged. Suppose Paul had said to them that were ready to flee, yes, y'all doing the right thing. Just don't leave me. Let me run with you too. All 276, there were 276 on the boat, or the ship, all 276 would have lost their life. But because Paul maintained his faith and his confidence and his trust in God and encouraged them to remain on the ship and said, now get something to eat, and he encouraged them and said, be of good cheer. Now they are encouraged because here is a man who is experiencing the same storm that they're experiencing. But yet he can encourage them. Don't all of us experience death? Well, let us encourage others who experience death. No doubt some of us have lost jobs. Then encourage others who lost their jobs. No doubt we all, no doubt, have an enemy, one or two of us, one or two somewhere around. Let us all encourage other folks that have enemies. Let them know that you're not in it by yourself. We're going through the same struggles. We're going through the same trials. We have the same challenges. We have the same storms happening to us. But let us stay with God. Because if we leave God, there is nowhere else to go. You know what Peter said when the Lord asked him the question in John chapter 6? Are you going to leave me too? Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Well, we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ and thou hast the words of eternal life. We got to stay with God. No matter what trial, no matter what storm, no matter what problem come into our lives, we got to stay with God. Don't leave God, because if we're leaving, we can't be saved. Again, going back to what Paul said to those who are ready to flee, he said, except you abide in the ship, you can't be saved. I'm saying to us this morning, stay in the ship. The ship that I'm talking about is the confines and the comfort and the joy that we have of being a child of God, of being in the body of Christ. Stay in the body of Christ. Christ has only one body, and the body is his church. Stay in his church. When the winds blow softly, stay in his church. When the winds blow strongly, stay in the church. And when the winds blow and the storms and the intensity of a hurricane, stay in the church. Because if you leave the church, you can't be saved. Yes, then, storms should help us to encourage others in their storms. And so because of Paul's faith, he was able to help others. They could see his confidence. He reminded them of God's power. Again, when he said to them, I believe God. You see, they could now concentrate on making it through the storm to the land. Look at verse number 36 through 40. Listen to what the Bible says. After now they have been encouraged to stay in the ship. After now they have been encouraged to eat some food. After now that they are of good cheer, listen to what the Bible says they do. Verse number 36. The Bible says, then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship 260 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up their anchors and committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. Now they can concentrate on working themselves on through and out of the storm. Once they remain, or rather once they got some courage from the Apostle Paul. But you see, if you just keep concentrating on the storm, you'll never be able to look for the land or for the shore. So oftentimes we let the storms that come in our lives drown us because we get distracted by the waves, we get distracted by the winds, we get distracted by all of the trouble and all of the turmoil, and we can't see the shore. Now they are encouraged, and now they can see what they need to do to get to the shore. Because Paul, then, of his faith and his encouragement that he gave them, they all made it safely to land. Verse number 41, Bible says, and falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all save the land. You see what happened? And they are able now to concentrate. Now they get to shore. Storms can serve a great purpose in our life. As I said earlier, they're going to come. When we're at the best that we can be, storms will sometimes come. But sometimes we bring them on ourselves. But even if we bring them on ourselves, we ought to learn from them. We ought to learn to work through them. Yes, because of Paul then, they made it safely to land. The man of God. And as I close this morning, the children of God ought to serve the same role that Paul served. Paul served a very great purpose in getting all these people to land. The children of God need to serve a great purpose in getting people safely to heaven. What do I mean by that? Can we save them? No. Can we make them be saved? No. But we can encourage them. We can strengthen them. We can teach them. We can pray for them. Yes, our job then as faithful Christians is to help others get safely to heaven. Paul helped them all to get safely to land. We can teach the lost. We can encourage the weak. We can restore the fallen. I believe when we do those three things, we will do a great work in the name of the Lord in helping people to be saved. Storms reveal some things about us.
He moves. Everyone that will come this morning, will you come? Will you come? I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. That one that will come, will you come? Will you come? Will you come? I shall not be moved. Hanging in fighting, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by.